By the folks up front, my name is Ronald Latang Sayang Katalani. And I'm here tonight representing the advisory board of Asian Family Center. Dr. Lubuti, as you may know, and his family has just arrived in Portland, his wife and daughter from Jordan, and his sons from Syria. And it just fills me with such courage and such hope to see Evelyn and African Women's Association, to see Bahar Buti with his Oregon Iraqi Society. And if that weren't enough, you know, there was a process that was vision into action, which gave birth to Bridgetown Voices, which gave birth to the Immigrant and Refugee Task Force, which gave birth to the job of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs Coordinator for the city of Portland, which gave me medical insurance, dental, and eyeball insurance for the first time since 1979. So thank you. Thank you all very much. I'm heartened. I'm so optimized, you know, as if it's at all possible, as an optimistic newcomer with these folks you've seen tonight. And I'm so happy to be a part of bringing their voice to City Hall.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for that testified for very thoughtful and heartfelt comments. Very powerful, very moving. I want to thank the rest of you that have observed for being here as well. I want to reassure you that the vision into action is definitely entered a phase of action, and that when you move from the amazing effort and outreach that was made, it is now time for us to figure out how to turn that into a strategy to achieve that very inspiring and very aggressive vision. So it is not necessarily the same as the first phase, but the requirements are different. For example, the youth planners, which are part of the visioning process in my proposed budget, that funding is continued because I felt it was important to continue the continuity for the youth planners associated with this process and having that continue as we move into the Portland plan, which is a plan to figure out how to achieve the vision that you and thousands of others helped put together. The Portland plan itself, in my proposed budget, and hopefully with the support of this council, we will move forward on the Portland plan. It is very difficult times financially. We had to cut $9 million out of the city's budget in the next fiscal year and around $20 million in the fiscal year we're in right now. But nonetheless, and we had to take significant cuts in planning. But nonetheless, proposed resources to move forward on the Portland plan. The other, in the spirit of inclusion and citizen involvement, I also proposed funding the right budget for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. It is not going to receive the cuts it was supposed to receive in this budget because of my belief in hard times that investing as much as possible in citizen involvement is ever more important. And as part of that, the Vision into Action grants will end, but as part of the mayor's proposed budget, the neighborhood grants will continue. And the Neighborhood Business Association grants will continue as well. And those are a granting program of similar amounts of money that many of your organizations have received. That will be available to you depending on the project that you want to pursue. And a couple of other things. For example, the day labor program, which we committed to funding for only a year. I propose continuing the funding for that because of the importance that grew out of this effort. And finally, loud and clear, center to your presentations tonight, core to the vision, core to the Vision into Action grants was a continued, sustained, and ever-improving focus on increasing the diversity of outlooks, opinions, in the public discourse, and especially when it comes to City Hall decision making. So permanent funding for the Human Relations Commission is something that we committed to as a city council, and my budget delivers. It goes from one-time funding that would disappear to permanent ongoing funding. That comes out of the aspirations and the work of this project. So every project like this goes through different phases and different sort of emphasis of types of activity. We now need to work really hard collectively to turn your vision into reality, and that needs to happen through a variety of efforts, but core to them is the Portland Plan. And that work will start anew and seriously starting in the fall. So I want to thank you all for your work. We know there's a lot more to do, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you to do that. My colleagues might want to make some comments as well.
Thank you all for coming, and thank you for participating. Thank you for being part of Portland. Thank you for being part of the Portland that I love. I'm an immigrant. I came here in 1986. I have an accent, but I didn't have to learn English. So I greatly respect those folks who came in and gave us beautiful presentations tonight. And want to echo Mayor Adams's sentiments. The cuts that we had to make in no way reflect the value that we place on the services and the programs that may not be funded next year. And the ongoing funding for the Office of Human Relations is a commitment, and it's a promise kept from the previous council. It's in honor of Mayor Potter and what the previous council did in funding all four positions and money for the Human Rights Commission and as keeping Polo's job to be ongoing so he continues to have health insurance, as he mentioned. Which is a good thing because that the Immigrant and Refugee Program is huge. In the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, we have the Diverse Community Leadership Program, which is funded and which the whole of the neighborhood groups said, this is a core part of what we do. We are not going to cut those groups because they were the last in and because they had one-time funding, that we are going to reorganize our priorities. We're going to go out on a limb and ask for a 10% cut in the overall, including the one-time funding, instead of saying, well, the one-time funding is gone. And so Mayor Adams has been stalwart on making sure that those parts of the budget were funded. We're continuing to fund the Regional Arts Commission and are adding some programs there to add in some of the cultural programs that Vision Into Action has become known for. We're funding the Data Liberation Center. We're funding Elders in Action and Community Gardens and the Youth Planners and the Youth Corps and the Youth Commission. So throughout the budget, there are places where we're dedicating money and we're, in some cases, it's very difficult to look at and see where else could be cut. And, you know, we've been looking to find money for graffiti removal and for a number of other things that citizens have been asking us to fund. And I challenge you to look at what is proposed in the mayor's budget and see if there's anything that you think, nah, that doesn't really need to be funded. I don't think there is. So we need to work together. And I have said all along since I started this job in January, it already became very clear that there are going to be some very valuable programs and services that will not be funded come July 1st, whether they're cuts at the city, at the county, at the state, or from the federal government. Government is not going to be able to provide all the things that we want to provide and that we have provided, and that's where the community comes in. And I think that can be a good thing because government shouldn't provide everything. As we heard today, you have done an amazing job of organizing within the community. And I'm very pleased to hear about the partnership with PSU and the Regional Resource Institute. That's a wonderful new beginning for this program and a way forward that I'm glad to hear that you came up with that. I'm interested to hear how that's going to work. So thank you so much for your participation here tonight, for your ongoing dedication. And rest assured, we do care about the vision. We care about the vision into action. And I think that the mayor's proposed budget helps to do that, even though this particular program is not currently in it.
Well, thank you all for being here, and I also want to associate myself with the remarks of my two colleagues. I think that we do obviously face some budgetary challenges, but this is not anything to do with, you know, Mayor Potter. I think there's certainly some indications that we've abandoned this. You know, I voted for this, Commissioner Adams, then Commissioner Adams voted for this as well, And we see this really as a way for this process to evolve through your association with PSU, through the Portland Plan, through our newly permanently funded Human Rights Commission. These are all important steps. We have to balance what we can do and what we can't do in tough budgetary times. But this is in no way a reflection of us abandoning the initiatives of Mayor Tom Potter. I think this was one of his outstanding legacies, and it will continue to imbue itself and grow in City Hall. And I hope, count on all of you to make sure that that happens too. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Carly, can you please read the title for Time Certain 676 and 677 and 678, 79, 80, 81, 82? Just keep reading.
676. Adopt street priorities and form for wireless applications for siting private wireless facilities in city right-of-way. 677. Request the federal government to update studies on potential health effects of radio frequency wireless emissions in light of proliferation of wireless use. 678, amend and extend term of right-of-way agreement granted to AT&T Wireless Services of Oregon, Inc. to build and operate wireless facilities within city streets. 679, amend and extend term of temporary revocable permit to Clearwire US LLC to use the city streets to provide wireless broadband internet access services and establish terms and conditions. 680, amend and extend term of a temporary revocable permit granted to LCW Wireless Operations LLC to build and operate wireless facilities within city streets. 680, amend and extend term of right-of-way agreement granted to Sprint Spectrum LP to build and operate wireless facilities within city streets. And 682, amend and extend term of right-of-way agreement granted to VoiceStream PCSI LLC, now known as T-Mobile West Corporation, to build and operate wireless facilities within city streets.
So if I could have those people that are not here to testify on any council action move your conversations to the outside hall, we would be very grateful. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I'm very pleased to introduce these ordinances and the resolution, which we have been working on since January, pretty much since day one when I got here, with the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management to review the material that the council heard in a hearing last fall, at which there was not consensus that we were ready to move forward. So you directed the cable office and myself to work to come back with a revised proposal. We have been meeting with the community and with industry representatives for over these months. And thanks to everyone's diligence, commitment, and participation, we believe we're close to a win-win. I thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fish for participating in the April work session and Commissioner Leonard for his comments following that work session. And especially the citizens and industry input, which has been incorporated into this these proposals. I do want to note that just today, Kathy Furstenau from the Cully neighborhood pointed out a typo, which we've been able to correct in the document, which I believe can be put down as a Scrivener's error and corrected by the ordinance next week. And I do want to comment that these are not emergency ordinances. We will be voting on the resolution today, but we will be voting next week on these ordinances because, again, the cable office has worked with us to make sure that we had the timeline so that we can adopt the revised contracts before the new expiration date of the end of June. In a moment, I'll introduce my staff, but also I wanted to mention, to recognize that one of the key issues in these regulations is that this is not land use. This is wireless facilities in the right-of-way. And essentially, it's putting antennae on existing utility poles and replacing those utility poles with in order to put other antennae on them. And we haven't included noise and vibration standards because we met...
What's an antennae?
The plural of antenna.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's quite all right. I'll try not to let it... cut my stride. Noise and vibration was a big concern, and there have been some very unfortunate instances of wireless facilities in the right-of-way humming and vibrating and causing a lot of distress to citizens, which the Cable Office and Bureau of Development Services, Paul Van Orden, the noise officer, diligently went back to look at. We met with Paul Van Orden, and we believe the existing standards provide the tools to address both to address noise and that whenever there's vibration, there's going to be significant noise that we can address that way. So we did look at that. The highlights of the proposal, it creates a priority map of city streets by type, so that it's not related to the zoning. It's related roughly to the transportation system plan, but we have our own map so that we can prioritize and ask the companies to try to place the facilities in industrial areas first and residential areas as a last priority. It confirms the city policy of co-location on existing structures. It provides notice and meeting requirements in residential areas, which, according to our street classifications, are 80% of the city streets. It increases the compensation per pole from $3,500 to $5,000 and adds a one-time $2,000 application charge to the Cable Office to cover staff costs for additional notice and meetings in residential areas. And it imposes limitations on height and equipment dimensions. So again, I thank Commissioner Saltzman and the entire council for their diligence in worrying through these issues with me. And now I'll turn it over to David Olson, the director of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, which I just like to say because it took me like 3 weeks to learn how to say the name of one of my bureaus, and to Dave Solis, and it also took me about 5 months to learn how to say Dave's name. And I appreciate your good work on this.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, and council members. And I think all three of you are deeply familiar with many of the issues here. You have been out in the neighborhoods, as has Commissioner Fritz. You've talked with citizens about this yourselves. You've been to those meetings, and all of you have been. I really want to commend the council, not only currently, but even before Commissioner Fritz's arrival, for making this process, which already before Commissioner Fritz's arrival was a public solid process under Commissioner Saltzman, an even better process with the comments, suggestions that this council provided in December when we were with Commissioner Saltzman. And that itself improved this process. Then Commissioner Adams made a number of constructive suggestions at that point. We went back really to rewrite at that point with the council. Commissioner Fritz arrived, and her tenacity, attention for detail, and deep involvement in this process has in turn contributed enormously to what we think is a whole series of really both successful, constructive, and really responsible outcomes, including on issues we had not necessarily discussed previously, such as RF health issues, but which have come up and which citizens are concerned about, and which we collectively have arrived at what we think is a responsible and constructive method of going forward. So I spoke with you at some length about these issues at your council informal session on April 14th, which also engendered some very good comments, including from Commissioner Fish, and Commissioner Leonard also has commented on this. And we arrive before you tonight really with a culmination of a series of actions and proposals that really, in what is a proliferating wireless environment, and Commissioner Fritz has already alluded to this, we'll allude to it again, but wireless is becoming dominant. It has happened. There are more wireless-only households in Portland now than there are wireline-only households. We have reached past the tipping point. And these collective series of actions, ordinances, templates, don't address the entire, every range of interaction here, as Commissioner Fritz has stated, but do, in a responsible way, allow demand to be served, but in a way that's acutely sensitive to the impact of these facilities on residential neighborhoods and provides notice and gives people an opportunity to be heard. We're proud of that. You should be proud of it. And our entire process for the last year and a half has headed us in that direction. So we appreciate the work of Commissioner Fritz and of all council members here. And I, in turn, want to recognize City Attorney's Office. Ben Walters is here, has worked with us very closely on these. And in my office, our own main man, Dave Solis, also as head of that program, has worked with us.
Questions from council. Is it okay with you if we take testimony on the whole package at once?
Yes, and I'd just like to also introduce the resolution, because we have heard a lot of comments from citizens concerned about and asking us to regulate based on health issues or concern about health issues. I know former Mayor Vera Katz was very concerned about this. The FCC doesn't allow us to do that. So our proposed resolution to this issue is to ask our congressional delegation to ask the Federal Communications Commission to take another look at this. We're not, and I want to emphasize, we're not saying that we want local control, and we're not saying that we think there are health impacts. We're asking them to take another look at it. And this is in response to our citizens. We are not suggesting that we are going to be taking the lead on me jetting across the country to advocate about this. It is in response to our citizens, and that they, with the council's support with this resolution, can continue to advocate with our congressional delegation to get a national attention on this issue. So people are welcome to testify on any and all of this stuff.
How many people do we have signed up?
We have two people who've signed up.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay.
David Morrison and Luann Moldovan.
Welcome back, Mr. Morrison.
Thank you.
Ms. Moldovan, please come on up. Welcome to the council chambers.
Thank you.
You just have to give us your first and last name, and 3 minutes, the clock in front of you will guide your time.
David Morrison.
Do you have any testimony for us?
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were going to wait for me.
Oh, no.
I'm wondering how many of you would let somebody come in to your home with a microwave weapon, point it at you, turn it on, leave it on 24/7. This is what this technology is, nothing less. We're looking at tobacco and asbestos all over again. In Europe, in Israel, South America, they are exposed to 1,000 times less radio frequency radiation than we are here. There have been thousands of studies, it's now irrefutable, that radio frequency radiation harms all biological systems. Animals, plants, bees, bats, everything is affected by radio frequency, and there is no safe threshold. I can provide stacks and stacks of studies. You've heard the slick presentation, and I'll read something here. In May 2008, USA Today reported Sprint and Clearwire plan to blanket the USA with WiMAX, turning the nation into one big hotspot. While putting high-powered WiMAX antennas in residential and commercial neighborhoods may be good for consumers in terms of internet speed and access, there's serious and growing concern among scientists about the effects of this 24/7 exposure to microwave radiation. The BioInitiative report, a large review of over 2,000 studies on the known biological effects of electromagnetic radiation, shows impact on RF on the immune function, the neurological system, inflammation, stress, proteins, behavioral functioning, etc., at levels of exposure way lower than current FCC exposure guidelines for industry. Based on the existing body of science on the effects of RF radiation, grave concern is thus now being raised by scientists about the planned chronic exposure in the U.S. to these frequencies. An estimated 10 million people, or 3% of the population, is already estimated to be electrically sensitive. Germany has warned its citizens not to use Wi-Fi. There's a statement here from the head of education, and I'm not sure exactly what his status is, but he says wired education should be banned from schools. That's in England. There's a scientist, Dr. Magda Havas, up in Canada, who wrote an open letter to parents and teachers and school boards regarding Wi-Fi networks in schools. I myself am not going to send my daughter to Mount Tabor Middle School because they just installed Wi-Fi. Anyway, I'm not too organized. I had late notice of this, so I don't have anything prepared, but that's the situation. You folks have a legal and moral obligation to look into this technology and to intervene on our behalf. The Federal Communications, the FCC law of 1996 prohibits health reasons for placement of cell towers. So why is that? What does the telecom industry know? And when did they know it? This is just like tobacco and asbestos. And scientists are saying there will be many more casualties from this technology that was rushed into implication, rushed it to market without any regulation, oversight.
So I'm let you have a minute and 20 seconds over the normal amount. And
oh, thank you.
Would you like to just wrap it up really quick?
Well, that's pretty much it. I'd like to see something done to...
Well said.
...to curb this or look at it.
So you support the resolution?
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi. This makes me nervous, but my name is Luann Moldovan, and I heartily support the resolution. And I, with all due respect to Commissioner Fritz, or Councilwoman...
Commissioner,
if this is to be a nationally recognized resolution, then I think Portland should stand up proudly to be at the vanguard of this movement, I'd like to call it. It's like David versus Goliath. It's daunting, but we shouldn't let how daunting megalopolis corporations and the telecom industry be when there is a voluminous wealth of evidence about how dangerous and threatening Wi-Fi is to children in particular. It's scientifically based research. It's not like a bunch of conspiracy freaks. And why it's covered up, why it's not recognized, is infuriating and frightening. I have a daughter with type 1 diabetes. Her immune system is already compromised. I have an immune system problem. I don't know why. It's not in my family's background. But it's perhaps why I'm more conscious of this. And a lot of people, understandably being humans, in this day and age with computers and cell phones and all the rest, it's hard to for that to seep in, this evidence. But I think it... We bear responsibility for disseminating this information, for having our passionate voices heard. They are voices based in fact. This is not hypothetical. It's empirically based research. And, you know, Los Angeles, everywhere from LA to New Zealand, they are banning cell towers on school grounds. As Mr. Morrison said, in all over Europe, the Europeans are so far ahead of us. Why can't Portland catch up? We are so forward-thinking in so many other ways. I think we should be proud to stand up for this resolution. And in Canada, they have a electro-hypersensitivity ruling or something. Let's see. Anyway, they're calling it something now, specifically, you know, to deal with it. Libraries in France have banned it. So this is commonality there. It's not like something peculiar and bizarre. So I thank you for your support and hope you will do everything you can for something that is... a life and death situation, without sounding too dramatic.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you both for coming down. As a registered nurse and a mother, I share your concerns, and I appreciate you staying and coming tonight to support the resolution.
Thank you.
So we are going to vote on the resolution, which is Council Item 677. Carla, would you please call the roll?
So Saltzman.
This is on the resolution? Okay.
On potential health effects.
Okay. Well, as I think Commissioner Fritz said, I know that our former mayor, Vera Katz, had very strong concerns about this. I think these concerns are ones that deserve another look, hopefully by our Congress and FCC. I think there are certainly, as was said in our testimony, a lot of countries are going a different direction than we seem to be going in these areas, and often they lead. And so I think this is definitely worth asking our congressional delegation to see what they can do to get the FCC to take another look at this issue, or maybe even look at revisit the local preemptions. And with a new administration, a new Congress, hope springs anew. Aye.
Fritz?
So this resolution is evidence that we have heard the community concerns about the health effects. And we recognize that federal law preempts state and local governments from considering the health effects. The Federal Communications Commission has jurisdiction over wireless facilities and relies on federal agencies with health and safety expertise, such as the Federal Drug Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. A 2001 Government Accounting Office report concluded that further research is needed and recommended that the FDA take the lead. The Federal Communications Commission last updated the guidelines in 2003 based on data that was primarily from the 1990s. So it's time to take another look, and I greatly appreciate my colleagues' support on this, the citizen testimony. Before I conclude with my vote, I just want to recognize the great work that's gone into this entire project. I'm, as someone who's very who understands the importance of citizen involvement, you would think that I would be really disappointed that there were no citizens here to testify on the on the other issues of the wireless facilities in the right-of-way. But I also recognize that we had a lot of participation all along the way, and that must mean that everybody is satisfied with what we have come up with. So I do thank David Olson and Mary Beth Henry in the cable office, Dave Solis, Melvin Reddick. We had one particular meeting. There are only 9 people in the cable office, the staff, and they bring in $67 million to the city's general fund. We had one meeting where more than half the staff of the cable office was present and helping citizens get their have their beliefs heard and suggestions taken. So I appreciate that. And Ben Walters in the city attorney's office has been extremely helpful, as were staff in the Bureau of Development Services. And Margarita Molina in my office has been outstanding on this issue. And so I appreciate everybody who's worked so hard to come to a consensus. And I vote aye on the resolution.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank thank Commissioner Amanda Fritz for her leadership in this effort. I want to thank the team at Cable and Franchise Management and the team in Commissioner Fritz's office for bringing this forward. On a lot of issues, it would be nice for us to simply say, federal law be damned. We're just going to start passing our own resolutions, even if they are in opposition to federal law. A lot of issues, we would probably like to do that and get public support for it here in Portland. Unfortunately, that's not the way our system works. Advocacy, resolutions going to delegations from this city government like this are rare. So it does and will highlight the seriousness that we take this issue as an avenue of inquiry. So I'm really pleased with this resolution. I just also want to say that the innovations on the rest of the right-of-way wireless issue are really profound, and this is an issue that has beguiled me the entire time I've been in Portland as a public servant, and I'm really just very excited that we're doing right by the neighborhoods in so many ways with this whole package. So thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Aye. Resolution is approved. Council stands recessed until tomorrow, Thursday, May 21st at 2 p.m.